This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Damnable Grace. Written by Tilly Cole. Performed by Patrick Garrett, Emily Caldwell, Douglas Berger, and Aaron Sin.
Prologue. AK. Plano, Texas. 11 years ago. I'm gonna be a Marine. I raced into the kitchen. Devin was sitting by the table, working on the engine of his bike. He looked up. His face was pitted with grease. What? He exclaimed, brow furrowed. I stood, catching the breath I'd lost running home. I threw off my leather jacket and tossed it on the back of a chair. I've just enlisted! I smiled, doing a totally shitty job of keeping the excitement from my voice. Just like you! I've joined the Corps! Devin blinked at me, but said fuck all. My excitement began to wane. Dev? He dropped the engine onto the tabletop with a resounding thud. He got to his feet and ran his hand down his face. X, what the fuck have you done? I shook my head in confusion. What? What's wrong? My brother sighed and looked out the kitchen window. What's wrong? What's wrong? He took in a deep breath, releasing it slowly, as if trying to calm himself down. This ain't the life I wanted for you. You're my fucking little brother. And you got more brains in that stupid head of yours than I ever had. I was banking on you going to college or some shit, not the fucking Corps. I don't want to go to college, Dev. I want to be over there, fighting, too. I want to fight beside you. Dev was still facing the window, but I caught his wince. Dev? I tried again, but I couldn't think of what else to say. My brother was acting weird. You got no idea what it's like out there, X. Finally, he turned to me, a fucking haunted look on his face, each word pronounced like a gunshot. You got no fucking idea. Unable to take him looking so damn lost, I walked over and put my hand on his tense arm. I want to fight, Dev. I laughed, knowing I was about to sound real pathetic. I want to fight for our country, like you. I fucking want to be like you, Dev, always have. Devin's eyes shone. Sighing, he grabbed me by the back of my neck and pulled me into his big chest. I struggled to breathe as he hugged me tight. When do you report? Devin's voice was rough and raw, as if he could barely force the words from his mouth. In 8 weeks? Fuck, kid, he said. What MOS? Scout Cypher, I shrugged. You know I can shoot real good. Devin tensed, then forced himself to relax. It must have been a couple of minutes before he let me go. I was 18. Dev was 26. He'd joined the Corps when he was my age, and as soon as he could, he got us the fuck out of our shithole existence with our drunk parents and had given us a better life. He'd saved us. Pulled us out of the damn gutter. He was my motherfucking hero. Devin pulled back and kissed my forehead. I was an inch or two taller than him now, and still growing, but I always felt smaller around Dev. He just had that kind of larger-than-life attitude, or at least he used to. After the last two tours, he'd changed some. The last one, to Iraq, being the worst. I knew it was 'cause he missed home, but if I ended up stationed near him, he wouldn't have to be alone no more. True brothers in arms. I wanted better for you, kid, he announced. I looked him straight in the eye. Fighting alongside you? For our country and freedom? That's as good as it goddamn gets, I said quietly. Dev's face didn't change. I didn't see any happiness in it. I just saw disappointment. I meant like a doctor or lawyer or some shit, X. He tapped my head. Something where you use this. Snipers are the fucking nuts, Dev. The recruitment officer even agreed. Smart, patient, focused. It takes a special kind of someone to be a sniper. Takes skills not everyone has. My chest swelled. I can be that fucking someone. I swallowed back the lump that suddenly clogged my throat. I can be good at this. Like you, a good Marine. Dev's shoulders sagged, and a small wash of pride settled on his expression. I know you can, kid, he said thickly. I ain't got no worries about that, Never have done. I just... We can fight together, and when we're on leave, we can come home, drink beers, work on our Harleys, and just fucking ride until we have to leave again. That's my damn American dream right there. I smiled, a huge smile. Imagine that, Dev. That's gonna be our life. I looked him dead in the eye. Ain't nothing better to me than family, defending our country and fucking riding the open road. It's what I want, for real. Dev looked as though he wasn't gonna agree, like he was still gonna say some shit to try to dissuade me. But then a voice came from the doorway. What do you want for real, Xavier? I turned to see Tina, my sister-in-law, watching me and my brother, curiosity written on her face. Before I could answer, Dev slung his arm around my neck and said, This little fucker's just signed up to the Corps, Scout Sniper. Tina's eyes widened, and I saw a mixture of pride and worry cloud her blue eyes. Xavier? Is this true? Yes, ma'am. Her hand flew to her mouth, and she rushed forward to pull me into a hug. I'm so proud of you, she whispered. She stepped back. So now I have two of you to worry about when you are away. Great. I play-punched Devin in the shoulder. I'll look after him, I promise, I said and laughed, when my brother rolled his eyes. Tina laughed too, but I saw her lingering concern. She and Devin had been together since they were 15. Tina always said I was her brother too, that's how she viewed me. But she was more than a sister. To me, she was the only mother I'd ever really had. She raised me, cared for me when I was sick and helped me with school. When Dev was away on a tour, it was just her and me. Well, her, me, and... Uncle X! Little feet pattered down the hallway, and my four-year-old nephew came barreling through the door. Zane! Get the fuck here, kid! He plowed into my legs, and I picked him up. Guess what? I said, as he laid his head on my shoulder. He lifted his head and stared at me. I'm gonna be a soldier, just like your dad. His mouth dropped open dramatically. Wow! A real-life soldier, just like my daddy? Yeah. Cool!
Well, Devin said from beside us, looks like we better go buy some steaks. Not every day your little brother becomes a fucking man.
A fucking man! Zane repeated loudly. I couldn't help but laugh at his cute face. I loved this kid. He was my damn shadow, never leaving me alone. A sudden pang hit my stomach. I'd miss all my family when I went on tour, but none like this little fucker. Best goddamn thing in my life. Tina took Zane from my arms and tapped his nose. No cussing, little man. Only grown men get to do that. Zane looked like he wanted to argue, but Tina gave him her famous stare that told all us Deaz men to shut the fuck up or face her wrath. Zane huffed, but smirked at me when I threw him a covert wink. I could see the future now. Zane was just like me, and Dev, a fucking Deaz man through and through. He'd no doubt follow us into the Corps. We'd all serve the flag, grow old, and that would be that. Devin's hand landed on my shoulder.
Go get your hog, kid. We'll go for a ride, then barbecue. Then we'll make you the best sniper to ever fight for the red, white, and blue.
So that's what we did, and it was the best fucking day of my life. Chapter 1 AK Hades Hangman Compound Austin, Texas Present Day I undid the buttons of my jacket and tried to suck in some fucking air through the thick heat. The gate slammed shut behind us. I reached up and wiped the sand and grit from my face. My entire body felt as though it were made of it. I could barely make my legs move. I was so fucking exhausted. I glanced down at my hand and saw the fucker shaking. You good? Bones asked. I looked at my spotter and closest friend. His face was white too, but I could tell he, like me, was manning the fuck up. A weird mix of adrenaline and guilt ripped through me when I thought back to the last 2 days. The sound of my bullets releasing from my barrel and slicing through the fucker's skulls. Direct hit! Sounding from Bones beside me as I kept my eyes on my targets. Three! Bones said, his gangly arms reaching up to take off his helmet. I nodded in acknowledgement, but didn't say shit. Wasn't sure my mouth would work anyhow. Fucking three! Each one a direct hit. Then I saw him. Coming from his tent, he rushed toward me. X! He called. I stopped dead, my feet crunching the sand. Bones' hand came down on my shoulder. See you later, yeah? Get some sleep. Yeah, I replied. Bones walked away, and I looked up at my brother. I heard on the radio. Devin put his hand on my head before lowering it to my shoulder. My hair was gone now, shaved, jarhead through and through. You okay? Yeah, I said, then laughed. I had no fucking idea why I was laughing. I'm good. I looked around us, the tents, the Marines milling about, the trucks being loaded and unloaded. It was fucking weird. Out there versus in here. Out of the gate and inside two completely different worlds. Three. I felt Devin's hand fall away from me. I got three fuckers. I laughed again and felt a nervous smile pull on my face, but my heart was pounding, and my hand wouldn't stop fucking shaking. Devin put his arm around my shoulder and led me from the entrance of the base. Come on, X. You need a drink. I let Devin lead me into his tent, but even as he set me down and handed me a whiskey, I didn't let go of my gun. I could see him watching me with worry, but I didn't care. I'd just killed three people. My first ever confirmed kills. When my cup was empty, Devin filled it back up. It gets easier. He sat on the edge of his cot, right in front of me. I met his eyes. From this moment on, it becomes second nature. And don't bother you as much, I promise. I took a deep breath and let his words sink in, hoping he was right. The smell of bacon frying ripped me from my dream. My heart beat like crazy as I recalled that day. My hands shook as if I were back there in the dry heat on that damn base with Dev. Calm the fuck down, I told myself, trying to push the memory from my head. It took 5 minutes for it to fade. My eyelids felt like ton weights as I cracked them open and winced at the sun streaming through my window. I groaned and grabbed my head when the effects of last night's tequila slammed into my cranium, yelling a huge fucking hello, remember me? Shit, I growled as I kicked my legs over the side of my bed and waited for the room to stop tilting to the side. Once the rocking chair in the corner had stopped spinning in circles, I pushed to my feet and stretched out my stiff neck. Something on my chest pulled tight. I looked down. I had fucking claw marks stretching from my neck to my groin. I'd slept in my jeans, clearly too fucking wasted to undress. What the fuck had happened? I slammed into the bathroom and closed my eyes as I pissed about a quart of tequila from my system. I moved to the sink and drenched my face with cold water. Then swilled my mouth with mouthwash so it didn't taste like something had fucking climbed inside and died. I pushed out of the door and followed the smell of bacon. Ash stood at the stove, already dressed in jeans and his hangman shirt, a fucking mini flame in my home. Tattoos, piercings, and those black as hell eyes. He looked up as I entered the kitchen. The little fucker had the audacity to smirk at me. I gave him the finger and slumped down at the table. Two glasses landed in front of me, a glass of orange juice and a shot of tequila. I groaned as I knocked back the Patron, then down the OJ until the glass was done. Thanks, kid, I said, then heard the little shit laughing again. How the hell are you not this hungover, you little fuck? Last I remember, you and Slash were doing shots of Jameson with Vike. He shrugged. I was. Just don't really get hangovers. I hate you. I swung a lazy punch to the side, but the fucker just moved away. I ran a hand over my eyes. The smell of food hit my nostrils, and I dropped my hand to see a full breakfast before me. My stomach growled in appreciation. Ash was still smirking at me, so I nodded and said, "Fine. You're forgiven." "For what? Being 16 and able to hold my liquor better than you, old man?" I stuffed my mouth with greasy eggs and bacon and swallowed. I'll give you a pass, only because right now it'd take too much out of me to knock you the fuck out. I hoovered my food, then sat back. Running my hand over my stomach, I winced, then my fingers passed over the fresh scratches on my abs. You know what happened here? Ash lowered his fork and wiggled his eyebrows. Sure do. He sat back and pretended to think.
She was about 5 foot nothing, bright blue hair, and had the biggest tits you'd ever seen.
I racked my brain trying to remember the club slut, but I could only grab hold of flashes of me fucking her over my bed in the clubhouse, and of her ripping the shit out of my chest when I flipped her over and started again. That and her fake-ass whining. Club sluts. Whores should learn to just lie back and be good little cum deposits without all the fucking high-pitched mewling. Fuck, I groaned. Ash went quiet, then, looking up at me through his black hair, asked, "You remember what I talked to you about last night?" I tried to think. Eventually, I gave up and shook my head. "Sorry, kid. I'm gonna need you to refresh my memory." Ash ducked his head, and suddenly, like the kid he'd been when we found him in that fucking hellhole in West Virginia, returned. Little Ash was doing real good of late. The little shit was funny. He was trustworthy. He fitted in with the club. He loved it with the hangman. Did everything he could to stay, desperate to please, like he thought at any minute we'd tell him to fuck off. We wouldn't. He was one of us now. Still, I was sure Ash never let himself believe it. Plus, the kid loved his brother. And Flame? Well, Flame was fucking Flame. But I knew that brother better than anyone. He loved Ash, just had fuck-all capability of showing or telling him so. I told you I was interested in the Marines. Scout Sniper, MOS, like you. I didn't expect his words. So I didn't expect the fucking iron bar that slammed into my stomach when he spoke them. I froze, staring at Ash, his head down, hands wringing together on the tabletop in nerves. "You want to join the Corps?" My throat was clogged, and it was a damn battle to get my sentence out. "You're only 16.
I know, but you've been teaching me to shoot for months now, and you said it yourself, I'm good.
You are good, fucking amazing, in fact, but you're still in school. Ash nodded, but I could see he was upset at my reaction. I leaned forward.
"You ain't liking school?"
"It's all right," I sighed. Working to keep my shit together, this conversation was too familiar. My blood turned to ice in my veins, and I felt as if two massive hands were choking me the fuck out. "Ash," I said quietly, watching his face fall. "Look at me." He did what I said. In all the months he'd lived with me, the kid had never done a thing wrong. Always did as I said. In that respect, he'd make a fucking awesome Marine. Obedient, disciplined. But I wasn't about to let that happen on my watch. Not a fucking chance.
"You okay?"
Ash said. I shifted in my seat. "You're smart, kid. Clever. But you're still young. I know you don't think so, or at least you don't feel it. Fuck, after what you've been through. I get it. You ain't a normal teenager, ain't obsessed with chasing pussy or whatever the fuck the other 16-year-olds do, but I ain't signing off on you joining the Corps early. Ain't happening." Ash looked out the window. I continued. "And I'm sure as shit that Flame ain't gonna let you join up either." Ash's head whipped around to me, and a surprised look formed on his face. "Our brother wouldn't handle you leaving. So how about we give him no reason to freak out on us, yeah?"
"Flame?"
Ash said in confusion. His shoulders sagged. "I ain't all that sure he'd mind." And there it was. The reason Ash was looking to me for Marine career advice. I took Ash's half-full cup of coffee and downed the hot liquid. "I get he don't speak much to you. I get that he spends most of his time with Mads. But I'm telling you now, that psycho fucker loves you more than he'll ever be able to say, right?" Ash swallowed. And fuck if I didn't see his eyes starting to water up.
"You think?"
Put my hand on his shoulder. "You're one of the only people he allows near him. There's Mads, of course, because she's his bitch, and got through to him when no other fucker could. There's me and Vike. That story goes way back. We've seen and been through a lot of shit together." I squeezed his shoulder hard. "Then there's you." Ash sucked in a sharp breath and exhaled slowly. "He's a hangman through and through. Would do anything for his brothers.
but he's never let the rest of them in like he has us. I gestured out the window to our small cluster of cabins deep in the hangman compound's land. This, right here, is what keeps him from breaking apart. And believe it or not, you're a huge part of that now, too. The vice around my throat eased when I saw a flicker of a smile hit the kid's pierced lips. Right now, kid, you're the fourth member of our fucked-up little trio, I smiled. And I ain't gonna cope with nuclear flame when we tell him I signed off on your enlistment. I'm kind of a fan of my cock, and I'd prefer to keep it away from your brother's serrated knife and more in tight, wet pussies. Ash laughed, and I smiled in relief, pushing my empty dish in his direction. Now get to it, these dishes ain't gonna clean themselves. Ash got up from the table, but just as he'd gathered the dishes in his hands, I stopped him by the elbow. I thought you liked working on bikes anyway. You spent hours working with Flame on his Harley or in the shop with Tank. Tank says you're the shit. Could be the best damn mechanic we got. You're in the hangman, brother. You're set for life. I like bikes, he said after a few silent moments. I really like them, actually. They make sense to me. Then stick with them, yeah? And once you're a fully patched-in member of the club, you'll get a cut of the hangman profits, too. You'll be fucking golden, kid. He clearly liked the idea of getting patched in, because he beamed with pride. Now get back to those dishes, I said. Until you're patched in, you gotta do the grunt work. I shrugged. Just the way it is. Yes, sir, the shitbag said, knowing I hated his young ass making me feel old. Fucking sir. I reached behind me to the cabinet, took out two Advil, and knocked them back dry. Just as I went to stand, to shower and shit, the front door slammed open, and a fucking ginger beast strode in. Morning, cum sluts! It's a beautiful fucking day! I groaned loudly as Viking's god-awful voice sliced through my skull. I looked up at him, smiling at me, like an ugly giant. He sniffed the air. In a flash, he was storming to the stove and checking out the food that was left over. I'm starting to think I should get me a fucking live-in rent boy, too. He cooks, cleans, fuck. He turned to Ash, who was trying his best to ignore our asshole of brother. You suck cock, too? I opened my mouth to tell him to shut the hell up, but Ash said, Even if I did, I wouldn't be sucking yours. Heard it's no bigger than an inch. Vike's mouth dropped open before he threw his head back and dove forward to put Ash in a tight headlock. Fucking little shit, he shouted, gracing us all with his thunderous, booming laugh. Ash pushed him off. You can have the food. It's what's left over anyhow. Vike scooped up the food, brought it to the table, and sank down into a seat. He stuffed the food into his mouth like a damn wild animal. His eyes fell to my chest, and smiling through a mouthful of eggs, he winked at my scratches. Fuck my life. Ash brought him a coffee, and Vike drained it in one go, tapping the mug on the table for more. You get the message from Styx? Vike said. No, just got up. I looked around for my cell, but fuck knew where it was. Gotta be at church in 20. Tanner finally got us a lead. My pulse started slamming in my neck as my heart tried to cope with the sudden rush of adrenaline. Thought you'd like that. He's found her? Phoebe. A picture of the redhead rushed to my mind. Not that I hadn't been thinking about the bitch non-stop since we'd found out she was missing. No idea, Vike leaned forward, running his hand down his beard. But I'm getting real fucking bored lately of standard runs and all the talk of Prez's damn wedding. Who gives a shit about that? I want Clanscun to hunt. My fingers twitched on the tabletop at the thought of tracking Phoebe down, of taking out the fucker who had her. Too many nights I'd stayed awake, imagining cutting that fucker apart, slitting his stomach open and watching as his blood and guts spilled at my feet. And I'd smile through it all with Phoebe by my side, watching the asshole die a slow and painful death. It had taken Tanner longer than he'd thought to get any kind of shit on this Meister dick, and I was restless. I agreed with Vike. Things had been too quiet. I may have been out of the Marines, but I still needed the fucking rush of the fight, of the kill in my life. With the hangman, that shit came in spades.
and it looked like it was about to kick off again.
Fucking A. I'll get dressed. I got up and threw on my shirt, cut, and boots. We were out of my cabin in minutes, Ash behind us. If it was church, the prospect would be pouring drinks and whatever the fuck else Sticks told him to do. I leaned against my cabin and lit up a smoke as Vike hammered on Flame's door. Get the fuck out, Flame! Gotta go! Through the window of Flame's cabin, I saw Flame head to the door, Maddie rushing behind him. He turned back to her, and the closest thing Flame had to a smile spread across his face. Then he leaned down and kissed his bitch. My chest tightened. My smoke burned away, untouched in my hand. I couldn't believe Flame had something like that. AK! Vike's voice cut through my thoughts. You ready? I nodded, seeing Flame walk out of his door. Flame flicked his chin at me. Then his eyes tracked around the yard. I knew who he was looking for. He did this every day. Only I noticed. I was the only one trained not to miss a thing. When he saw a little Ash, Flame's shoulders relaxed. Ash waved his hand. Hey, Flame!
You good? Flame asked, curtly, running his gaze over every inch of his brother.
Yeah, Ash said. He was smiling a little. I knew he had recognized Flame's attempt at affection. I winked at Ash to confirm that what he thought was true. Maddie's small frame appeared in the doorway. Viking, AK? Flame instinctively moved toward her, like they were fucking magnets or something.
Mads, I said.
Vike smiled. Morning, sugar tits! Flame's lip curled at our brash brother, but it was Vike. Weren't no one stopping that car crash. Hello, Asher, Maddie said to Ash. She nudged Flame's arms, her eyes urging him to do something. Flame's jaw clenched, then, without looking at Ash, he said, You're coming to dinner, tonight. Maddie shook her head in exasperation. She wasn't pissed at the possessiveness. She knew he wasn't being a dick. He was just being Flame. Ash, what Flame was trying to ask was, would you like to have dinner with us tonight? I will cook something special. Ash looked at me, and I flicked my chin, urging him to accept. Yeah, thanks. I'd love to, Ash replied, and Maddie smiled at him so big. Flame backed her into the house. He came back a couple of minutes later, stood beside me. You good? I asked. Flame nodded without meeting my eyes. We did this every day. Hell, several times a day. You good? Was more than just a passing question. It was Flame telling me that his head wasn't full of fucked up shit. Shit from his past. Good. I threw my smoke to the ground and pushed off the wall. I led the way up the hill to the compound. To church, where Tanner better have some fucking good news, 'cause I was motherfucking itching to hunt. Well? Kai asked. Tanner ran his hand over his head. The brother hadn't attended one of our cookouts or slutfests in weeks. Not that he ever entertained himself with sluts. Still too hard for his spick pussy down in Mexico. He'd been busy trying to track down Meister. Unlike most of the white power shit Tanner and Tank grew up with, this Meister was untraceable and off the grid. As much of a computer whiz kid as Tanner was, Meister was proving to be one slippery fucking snake to pin down. Gotta be honest, I didn't think I was anywhere close to finding anything on this prick. Tanner nodded toward Tank. We knew of him, of course. I knew he had dealings with my father and uncle, just never met him myself. He's Aryan Brotherhood, but works closely with the clan, and there's nothing on him. No email traces, no invoices, no texts, nothing. I gritted my teeth and glanced at Sticks, who was listening closely. Kai wasn't originally gonna tell the Prez about the plan to get Phoebe because of his fucking wedding, but that didn't last long. Sticks knew something was up with his VP. He read him like I read Flame and Vike, so Kai fessed up, and Sticks was all for the plan. He'd had to push his wedding back by a month anyhow to get the pastor May wanted to conduct the ceremony, so he had time to kill. But you found something? Kai translated, as Sticks signed. Tanner sighed, the black circles around his eyes showing how hard the brother had been working. I got something, he shook his head,
and my blood ran cold. I knew whatever he had found wasn't good. Tanner opened the file in front of him and threw a photograph toward the prez. Styx looked at it, then gave it to Kai. Some middle-of-nowhere ghost town? Kai passed the picture around. Vike handed it to me, and I studied it. It was an aerial shot, and the picture was grainy, but from what I could make out, it was just a huge piece of land scattered with decrepit old buildings. I passed the picture along. Fucker owns this? Tanner faced me.
Yeah, or at least his father did. He's dead now, but the deeds are all still in his father's name. Been in the family for decades. Took me a while to trace it.
He shook his head.
Meister is notorious among the clan, right, Tank?
Yeah,
Tank agreed. Never met him either, but we'd all heard of him. Prick has been mobilizing for years for the race war they think is coming. Real serious Oklahoma City bomb shit. From what we've heard, the guy has a one-track mind when it comes to advancing the white race. You think Hitler was fucked up? Well, imagine if he had a kid who was one built motherfucker with a fucking carbon copy of his psycho mind. And you've got Meister. Fucker ain't even German, just wishes he was. Spouting German phrases around like he was born and bred in Berlin, delusional asshole.
This ain't gonna be easy.
Tanner finished, looking at me. Vike, Flame, Hush, and Cowboy. It was the five of us who had agreed to go looking for Phoebe. Hush and Cowboy nodded at me to let me know they were still in.
So he's in this ghost town?
Kai asked, translating Styx's sign language again.
If so, we'll all just go in and get him, make the fucker talk, and tell us where he's got Phoebe.
Tanner set forward.
He ain't just living in the ghost town or hiding out. That's where he has his enterprise.
Enterprise? Kai echoed. It was his own question this time. Tanner nodded.
From what I can tell, it's a fucking brothel. Members of the Aryan Brotherhood, clan or clan sympathizers, can go there for a night or a few days at a time.
Tank shifted uncomfortably next to him.
Ain't sure, but I'm thinking it ain't just getting your dick sucked and fucked. It'll be real fucked up shit. If Meister's reputation is anything to go by, we would be walking into an organized armed hellhole.
Tanner's eyes darkened.
I get the clan has a reputation for being full of backwards rednecks. I ain't gonna lie, growing up, most of my father's cronies were that way. Thick as fuck and couldn't do shit without screwing it up. Skinheads, lower-ranked soldiers, you know?
But there were some members that weren't, Tank continued. He cast an embarrassed glance at Tanner.
We weren't, for starters.
Tanner nodded.
It's not the norm, but some of us were good, smart, strong fighters, or just outright fucking psychos. The skinheads and rednecks are the foot soldiers. The likes of us, the likes of Meister, are the fucking SS. The planners, the leaders, the generals. The ones who believe in the cause so much that they're fucking lethal with what they'll do, what they're capable of. Meister is true Aryan Brotherhood. He's preparing for war. He's the real fucking deal.
And now he's in our neck of the woods to stir up shit, I asked. Tanner nodded.
Comes from northern Texas, never moved our way before, but the clan are building day by day, joining forces with other white supremacist gangs, like the Brotherhood. And with the shit that's on the news 24/7, blacks and whites at each other's throats, he's moved to the headquarters.
The brother's jaw clenched. To my father and uncle, who'll be protecting him from being found out by the feds. He sighed and ran his hand down his face. From what I can figure out, this ghost town brothel of his has only existed in the last year or so. He's looking to fund something.
They ain't dealing guns,
Cowboy drawled.
I thought that's what Ryder said the contract with the cult was for.
Ryder was sure it was guns. At least, it was when he was dealing with the clan. It was all about arms. The clan was selling them and taking a cut.
He's fucking twin, Hush spat.
He changed the arrangement, didn't he, when Ryder was locked up in the cult prison?
Think so, Tanner said after a few seconds of silence.
Then what the fuck are they dealing? What was Judah giving them if not Israeli guns?
Women, Tanner replied. Women from the cult, I think. That ain't 100%, but it's the only link I can make.
Women, Kai said. Suddenly sticks set straighter. Kai's fist ground on the table, and flame had started twitching beside me. The three brothers, who had cult bitches, were quickly realizing that could have been their old ladies had they not got out.
Making them whores? Cowboy asked.
That's what I'd guess, Tanner said. That aerial shot is all I could get. And that's from years ago. Ain't no new pictures. No idea how full the town gets or how busy. Has a no-fly zone code appointed to it. No doubt a deal from my old man. No idea on the number of women there or what they have them doing. Took me weeks just to get this info.
He has Phoebe there as a whore?
Kai snarled.
Fuck!
He picked up his glass and threw it against the wall. It shattered into a million pieces.
She was one before.
I tensed as a voice spoke from the bottom of the table. I turned to see who had spoken. Smiler, the normally silent brother, looked around at us all.
Speak, I ordered.
Smiler didn't flinch at my cold command.
I was talking to Ryder.
The brother didn't even give a shit that the rest of us couldn't believe he still talked to the ex-prophet.
He told me some about the cult setup.
He looked at Kai, then me, and said,
About Phoebe.
Kai stayed silent. By his clenched jaw, I realized he already knew whatever Smiler was going to say.
Most of her life, she was a whore for the cult. Would go out into the outside world and entice men back to the commune by fucking them. Once they were there, they joined, of course. All the free pussy they wanted, any age pussy they wanted. He said Lila's sister was the main commune whore, the head honcho. All these sluts believed they were doing God's work, or some shit. The old prophet started the practice years ago, when he wanted to expand.
My stomach turned. My fingers had curled into a tight fist. I felt my blood boil, fucking murderous venom sailing through me. I thought of Phoebe, thought of that fucking red hair and face of freckles, thought of her fucking man after man, those damn blue eyes that had stared at me, looking at them, luring them the fuck in. It made me want to slit some throats. It made me want to kill.
Fuck. So Judah had been selling Meister the cult prostitutes for his brothel?
Hush said.
That's why Meister stayed at the cult sometimes. He'll have been choosing his whores.
Shit, and I thought we were fucked up, Vike exclaimed. So what's the plan? I asked Styx. He met my eyes, but before he could sign, Tanner spoke.
It ain't as simple as us storming in and taking these cunts out. They'll have top-quality guns and militarized soldiers. This ain't no redneck sex ring. If this is Meister, this is more. Much fucking more.
So? I asked. So we need a plan, Tank said.
Then let's get a fucking plan, Kai shouted.
Styx whistled for the prospects to come in. Little Ash and Slash entered the room, and Kai flicked his chin.
We need food, liquor, and keep that shit coming. We're gonna be here a while.
Little Ash and Slash left. Then we got down to planning, trying to figure out how the fuck to get into this ghost town whorehouse. And all the time, all I could see in my head was red. Red for blood, red for the mist that had descended over my eyes. And above it all, I saw the longest red hair. Long red hair and pale skin tied to a motherfucking tree. Freckles. Blue eyes. Phoebe. Cult bitch turned Meister's whore.
Chapter 2. Phoebe. My arms and legs ached as I tried to turn over on the bed. I was sweating, so hot that when I forced my mouth to open, I gasped for air. I moved my tongue, but it barely shifted in my dry mouth. I was thirsty. So thirsty. I breathed through my nose, waiting for the pain in my aching muscles to ebb. When it did, I forced my eyes to open. I flinched at the light coming in from between the faded curtains covering the tiny high window, trying vainly to blink away the brightness. My head thumped and my stomach growled, but I forced myself to sit up. I wanted to cry out as my muscles protested the movement. I glanced down at my naked limbs, fighting back nausea when I saw the blood gathered on the dirty sheets between my legs. Flashes of last night pushed through the thick fog that always seemed to be there in my mind. Meister pinning me down to the bed, covering me with his huge muscled body, hurting me, injecting me with the sweet potion that took away all my fears and hurt. I liked Meister's potion. I needed it. Then I saw him gripping my arms as he smashed his mouth against mine, biting my lips and drawing blood from the flesh. He lapped at the hot liquid. I remembered his hands forcing my legs apart, and I remembered his fingers finding my core and thrusting roughly inside. One finger, two, and then more. More, until I could no longer hold back my scream. And then I heard his laugh, his deep appreciation for my pain. Before his hand wrapped around my neck as his entire fist slipped from within me. The reprieve of being empty lasted only seconds until he thrust his manhood inside me. And he was even rougher than before, slamming into me while robbing me of my breath, squeezing at my throat. I scratched him, I clawed, but he only growled louder, hardened more. Until at last he spilled himself within me, collapsing on top of me with a long, thunderous groan. In the aftermath, I had stared at the ceiling, silent tears swimming in my eyes as I let the potion flood me and whisk me away from this hell. I liked being taken away. I rarely left this room, this bed. I didn't know how long I had been here. I saw no one but Meister, mostly. Sometimes he would take me outside to walk around whatever this place was. Sometimes he would allow me to feel the sun on my face, to smell the fresh air, when he deemed I had earned it. But that was rare. I always disappointed him. He always hurt me. On those precious days spent in the sun, I would occasionally see some men, but they would never speak to me. I saw no other females. I was alone. Just me and Meister. At the sound of the lock turning in my door, I tensed, eyes wide, waiting for him to come through. My arm itched, and my legs shifted restlessly on the wet mattress. The chain attached to my wrist pulled tight as my arms twitched with excitement. My blood raced in my veins, and my pulse hammered in anticipation of what Meister would be bringing me. He would have the potion that made me forget. I smiled. Then he was inside the room, as big and domineering as ever with his thick-set neck and shaved head. He wore jeans and a white tank. His heavily tattooed arms bulged with muscles. His blue eyes locked on me, and, as it did every time I saw him, fear infused me and glued me to the spot. "Phoebe," Meister said softly. My eyes never left him as he moved around my bed before stopping at the foot. He reached out, and his fingers circled softly on my ankle. The insatiable heat that was burning up my body suddenly morphed into ice at his touch. And then his fingers traced up my calf and upward along my inner thigh until they stopped at the entrance of my core. I never once took my attention off his eyes. They flared at the sight of the blood that had pooled between my legs. My breath caught in my chest when his fingers slipped along my folds. I wanted to cry out at the rawness of the pain I felt, the after effects of last night. But I kept it locked inside, only to lose control and retch when Meister brought his bloodied fingers to his mouth and licked his tongue along the wet tips. I rolled to the side, to the bucket he kept beside me, and heaved dry retches as my body vainly attempted to vomit. Nothing came up. Instead, my body yearned for the potion. It yearned for the liquid that would take away the bad and usher in only the good. I felt the bed dip beside me. Meister pulled my long, sticky hair from my overheated face. "Shh," he crooned lovingly. He ran his hand down my spine and traced his finger between the crack of my behind. I moaned, feeling sick, lost, the searing heat of the craving rushing through my veins. But he didn't stop. Meister never stopped, no matter how much I tried to protest. He took, He took and took and took. He pulled me up and laid me down flat on the bed. My head swam as I tried to focus. It took several seconds for my eyesight to clear and for the room to swim back into view. Meister was holding my chained arm out toward him. My wrist rested on his lap, and he ghosted his fingers up and down my upturned limb. My skin was paler than I remembered it ever being. It was peppered with red marks, some bruised and scabbing over, some fresh and weeping.
"Is this what you want, meine Liebchen?"
Meister said, his voice soft as a whisper. I had no idea what he called me, but he was always gentle when he spoke these words to me. Almost loving. Every time he did, he nearly tricked me into thinking he actually cared. I squeezed my eyes shut as I nodded. My veins almost burst with need. They felt as though they were reaching from my skin, searching for the rush they craved, the liquid that was a balm on my tortured soul. On my sinful soul. When I opened my eyes, Meister held up a needle for me to see. I resisted the urge to lash out and push it into my flesh. Meister was in control. I had learned that with him, free will did not exist. As my mind drifted off into a kaleidoscope of dark memories and pain, I felt the familiar sting of a needle entering a vein. Then, a surge of light and bliss flowed through my body, lifting me into an ethereal state, a blanket of warmth and pain-free liberty. As if being wrapped in the safety of God's arms, I drew in a deep breath and let my mind fill with tranquility and dance with light and life. No stress, no pain, just a river of peace. I felt the needle slip from my flesh, followed by the stubble of Meister's jaw as he leaned over to kiss me and tell me he'd be back soon. I didn't hear the door close when he left. I closed my eyes and fell into the sun. I was in a forest, deep in a magical heaven. I danced among the trees, feeling the leaves flutter through my fingers, the grass soft beneath my feet. Light music floated on the air, urging my body to sway to the beat. I loved to dance. It was my most favorite thing in the world. I swirled, and I smiled when I saw my Rebecca enter the clearing, as beautiful as I had ever seen her. Her long blonde hair was flowing down her back, and her blue eyes were bright and filled with joy. "Rebecca," I breathed. I threw my arms around her and held her closely to me. Rebecca laughed her sweet laugh against my ear.
"I am well, Phoebe."
Her soft, delicate voice drifted over me like a prayer.
"Truly?"
I asked through a tight throat. "The last time I saw you, what Judah had done, what those men had done..."
"Shh,"
Rebecca soothed, stroking her hand through my hair.
"I am happy, and..."
Rebecca pulled back and turned toward the forest edge.
"Come,"
she instructed someone. A high-pitched giggle split through the warm night, and my heart clenched, so tightly it did not seem possible.
"Grace."
I covered my mouth to stop the sob escaping my throat. Grace ran into Rebecca's waiting arms and held her close, like a child would cling to her mother.
"She found you,"
I gasped, tears streaming down my face.
"She did,"
Rebecca said, as Grace reached out for my embrace. I wrapped the little blonde girl in my arms and cried into her soft hair.
"You are safe now,"
I murmured, and felt Grace nod. I opened my eyes to see Rebecca watching on, such sweet love in her eyes.
"Forgive me, Rebecca," I pleaded, "for not saving you when I should have, for not protecting you when you were young, for what Judah did to you on that hill."
Rebecca came closer, shaking her head.
"There is nothing to forgive, Phoebe. You saved Grace. We are happy now. You saved me by saving her."
"Happy," I cried.
"Happy.
Safe.
Sister Phoebe?"
I slowly turned around. There she stood, in a white dress, with that long blonde hair and those deep dark eyes I knew so well. Our eyes met, and she smiled at me. I got to my feet, feeling the same overwhelming love build within me that I felt every time my eye lay upon her.
"Saphira,"
I whispered. She had grown some since I had last seen her,
reading scriptures together in the commune, lying amongst the bluebonnets in spring, hands held and smiling under the warmth of the sun. No men, no duties, just happiness in one another's company. And she had grown even more beautiful, if that was possible. She ducked her head as I gazed at her. She was so shy, always had been. So quiet, but so beautiful in nature. I ran my hand through her soft hair and felt my heart flutter, then shatter apart. "I have not seen you in so long," I said, my voice catching. "I know." A tear slipped down her cheek, and I caught it with my finger. It was warm, just like her. I have missed you." Her quiet confession tore my soul in two. In a heartbeat, I had her wrapped in my arms. She still smelled the same, still felt the same in my arms. "I miss you too, Saphira. So much that at times I cannot breathe." "I wish to come back to you," she pleaded, and held on to me tighter. "It is not safe," I said, crying. "Where I am is not safe for you." "I know," she relented, but she did not move from my embrace. She wanted to stay with me. I could feel it in my soul. My heart soared. I wanted her to stay too. I opened my eyes, smiling, happier than I ever dreamed I could be, but then the forest began to fade. The trees began to disappear into blackness, the sun dipping behind a too near horizon. I tried to grip onto Saphira tighter, but I began to lose the feel of her in my arms. Her body shimmered before me, turning into vapor. I blinked, to try and see her just once more, to kiss her cheek and tell her I loved her. But then I was falling. Falling until I hit something hard, so hard it robbed me of my breath. I cried out, arms outstretched, trying to climb back into the forest, but the darkness began to lighten, then cleared to show me the inside of a small room. I was back in my bed, chained, with my arms stretched high in the air.
"No,"
I whispered, devastation ripping through me.
"No,"
I cried again, curling on my side to try and bring back the light. I wanted to go back into the light. I needed more potion to help me return. Then I heard him breathe. Tears fell like waves down my cheeks as my euphoric high came crashing down into utter despair. Meister's hand reached out and smoothed away the wetness from my cheeks. "Liebchen," he murmured. When I looked to him, because I knew that I must, he had removed his shirt to reveal the huge black tattoo emblazoned in the center of his chest, the symbol that he had replicated on many other parts of his pale skin, the symbol that hung on large red, white, and black flags around the room.
"You dreamed of her again?"
he said softly, bringing his face closer to mine. The potion was fading, and I felt a deep hollowness in my stomach, in my heart. I opened my mouth to beg him for more. I wanted more of the potion. But before I could, Meister's eyes clouded with darkness.
"Answer me," he ordered.
The hand that only a few seconds ago had been so gentle on my cheeks suddenly became cruel as he gripped my jaw and glared at me with menace in his eyes.
"Yes," I said, pushing the words through my constricted throat. "I dreamed of her."
He relaxed his grip.
"Funny how the heroin makes you talk in your dreams, as if you are seeing everything in real life."
His head tilted to the side.
"The way you cry for her, want her in your arms."
Then he dealt his final insult.
"But you didn't fight for her, did you? You lost her, and now she's gone forever."
He tapped my head.
"Only in here does she need you. Because you failed her."
He tutted his disapproval.
"You were a terrible, terrible protector. A horrible sister."
His grip tightened again on my jaw, so tight that I cried out, terrified my bones would shatter under his great strength. He bared his teeth and hissed.
"And Grace was there again too? The pretty little one you hid from me."
His nose slid against mine, seductively, affectionately, until his mouth touched my ear.
"She would have made me a fuck ton of money. but you let her go. You took her from me.
He released me, and I gasped in relief. His hand threaded through my hair.
But I got to keep you.
He smiled, a cruel and wicked smile.
And I won't be letting you go. I love you. You know that, don't you? My little red-haired whore.
He reached for my wrist when I did not answer, so I quickly said, Yes, I love you too, Meister.
Meister pulled back his arm and nodded approvingly. And because of that, you've earned yourself a shower.
Meister unchained me and helped me from my bed. I glanced down at my naked body as I unsteadily got to my feet. I could see my hip bones. I could see my ribs. When I had gained my balance, Meister led me to the shower room. I wanted to cry with every step. It hurt so much. I had not been showered in days. My limbs were unused to movement. But more than that, with every step I took, I saw my dream of Saphira drifting farther and farther away from me, and I heard the echo of Meister's voice.
You failed. You were a terrible, terrible protector. A horrible sister.
Because it was true. I had failed her. Everything had been for nothing. My life had been for nothing. Nothing. All I had left in the world. I let the water fall over my head. My palms were flat to the wall as the steady stream washed away the blood and grime of the last few days. My wrist ached from the harshness of the metallic handcuff, and my new needle marks throbbed as the hot water pounded the holes in my flesh. I inhaled the billowing steam, praying it would clear my head. But it was no use. My ever-busy mind never rested. It was never at peace. The only times I had any kind of reprieve were when Meister's potion would puncture my vein and enter my blood.
Get out,
Meister ordered from beside me. He never left me alone unless I was chained to the bed. Whenever I was freed from my shackles, I was with him, and he watched me, studied me, craved me. I saw it in his eyes. It had been that way since Judah gave me to him at New Zion, a sacred gift. The female Judah knew would please Meister beyond measure. And it had worked. I had seduced him, made him crave my touch. Only now, it was worse. He could not give me up. I was the air to his lungs and the very beat to his heart. I was his ultimate obsession. Meister walked to a nearby set of drawers as I tried to dry myself. When I heard the drawer open, the first morsel of hope I had felt in days blossomed in my chest. When Meister turned around, holding a white dress in his hands, I had to stop myself from sobbing in happiness. He only ever dressed me when he took me outside. I almost dropped to my knees in yearning at just the thought of feeling the warm sun kiss my face and the fresh air inflate my heavy lungs. Meister approached me, his nostrils flaring as he drank in my naked body. He took the towel from me, knocking it to the floor. I bowed my head as he stopped before me. I managed to keep completely still, perfectly obedient, as his finger landed on my breast and circled the skin around my nipple. I let him. I would always let him. I knew the consequences of any act of defiance. It had taken me a full week to recover from my punishment when the devil's men had invaded New Zion. Meister had found me hiding, but without grace. I had let him down, and I was paying the price.
You're so fucking beautiful, Liebchen,
Meister said as his tongue landed at the bottom of my throat and lapped up the residual droplets of water, all the way up my neck, until he sucked my earlobe in his mouth. I closed my eyes. I just breathed. I knew men. It had been my role, my sole duty within New Zion, to know men. I was the female responsible for the Sacred Sisters of New Zion. We left the commune to recruit men, to draw more members to our cause, and I'd believed God would reward me for my service. I would pleasure the men like nothing they had ever known. I was skilled in seduction, a master in making my every touch a taste of the divine. Judah could not resist me, even going as far as to make me his sole consort. That is, until he found a younger model more suited to his,
particular needs. But Meister, I had never handled a male such as him before.